Very Amusing, your one-stop shop for the stories, secrets, and shenanigans of a popcorn-fueled theme park journalist. I'm Curly Wiesel, and we are on the cusp of Halloween, people. We are right there. I guess if Halloween is All Hallows Eve, this is All Hallows Eve, Eve, Eve. We are right there. It is about to happen, and if you, like me, you know, maximize your Halloween celebrations, you probably did some stuff last weekend. I did too. I carved a pumpkin for my second time ever, and I gotta say, huge improvement. I did way better than last year. I went to my friend Brandon's, and last year I did just, you know, traditional jack-o'-lantern face. Did not come out great. Very new at this. Complained the whole time about upper body strength. Lack thereof, I mean. And same thing happened this year, but thankfully I was blessed with a pumpkin that I picked out of his pumpkin patch that he set up at home. It was very cute. But the pumpkin I picked had like nothing inside. I really lucked out because other people did not. And I drew a little starry night scene, a moon, some stars. It was very fun. If you weren't planning on carving pumpkins, I don't know, make it like a Thanksgiving tradition if we're too late. Dude, get a gourd. It's fun. It's really fun to carve little things and to scoop them out and then you put a little candle in it and it glowed. It was wonderful. But to me, nothing is scarier in the Halloween season than something like this episode. This, to me, is a personal podcast HHN because I'm out here ranking all of our collective favorite place. I'm basically exploring what is good and not as good in a place that we unanimously agree that we love. Very scary territory to cover, but we are doing it this week. This was a podcast suggestion by one of our listeners, Becky. If you are listening, Becky, thank you for this. It was trickier than ranking the parks because obviously I do not like Hollywood Studios, apparently. And so that was pretty easy to rail on. This one is a little more complicated, but ultimately fun. I hope you all have the best Halloween if you're listening to this when it drops. I am going to Disneyland. I'm going trick-or-treating with a child who is excited to be a princess. I have to dress up in a Disney adjacent costume, and I am not happy about it. I do not like to wear costumes. I just want to be myself in my own clothes at all times, but you'll see it on the internet soon, and it's probably the last time you'll ever see me in a costume. I never want to do this again. I love Halloween, but I do not like dressing as a character. Anyway, stick around. We have so much Halloween fun ahead with our World Showcase rankings, and I apologize in advance if I say anything you hold against me for the rest of my life. Okay, see you on the other side. Becky's back!
I'm back! It's great to see you again.
You too. I mean, you just traveled around the world?
Yeah, I was just in Europe. I did the Adventures by Disney Paris Escape, which is three nights right in front of a Seine River cruise. Can I just say that? River cruise. It's
love
my new
a river
addiction.
Cruise. Love it.
It was so amazing. And you know how ABD is. They're great. The guides are great. The trip was great. And then just did a Royal Caribbean cruise with another group there. And I'm home now for a few days. So I'm glad that we were able to catch up.
You've seen the world and now you're back to tell us about ways we can save money by seeing the world.
Exactly.
Starting with, I got to hear, there's so many Disney World things going on. I just need you to run them down for me.
There's a ton. Well, I'll just throw out really quickly in your backyard. Disneyland is still running. They're 20% off on their select dates through December 20th. So if you're looking for that last minute deal, that's still available for you if you book by 12/16. But like you said, the real big news is Disney World. And I'm going to kind of build up to it because they're still running that save up to 25% off for most days, February through April of next year. So a lot of people right now are talking about that time frame and that getaway time when it's not as warm as you get in the summer. But they also have dates too available January and February for up to 20% off. So if you're just looking for that room only. They're still also running the Kids Dine plan for free for ages 3 to 9 when you purchase the package. And that's all of 26 right now. So if you want to jump on that, take advantage of it. But the real big news that dropped since you and I talked was Disney World rolled out a save up to $250 per night on a 4-night or longer room and ticket package. So that's for most days, February 22nd all the way to July 25th of 2026. So you can get 250 off select Elixir villas, off 150 per night off select moderates, and up to $75 per night off select value. But can you imagine right now for 2026? And this is unheard of because we usually don't see these kind of deals until what we call wave season, which is the January, the first few weeks of January. And for them to roll this out where you can get free dining and or save up to $250 per night all the way till July 25th of 2026. Wow.
Wow. You
I
can
know.
Really, I it's funny because, you know, we live online. The headlines are really like, tickets are expensive, things are going up. But there are these deals, which is why I always say to work with a travel agent, there
Yes.
are these deals that you can take advantage of that are not being promoted as hard. And I'm so glad that we have the space here to share these with everyone.
Absolutely. And you're so right. You may not see some of these, and they come and go very quickly. And what I'm seeing too is their revenue management gets a little, you know, we need to kind of put something on special sale. It's kind of like a Costco sale, and it hops up for a week and then it's gone. So if you do have that help from a travel advisor, you might hear about something that you might not see.
Wow. Thank you so much, Becky. And I can't wait to hear about all the other discounts you have later on in the show.
See you in a minute.
Welcome back, friends, because we are getting into our World Showcase rankings. I actually just started my computer, like, record the audio, and Morty came in. Morty knows something big is about to happen in this room. He knows. He feels it in his dog bones. Now, there is some stuff I want to proclaim very loudly from the start. This is not a review of the cultures or religions or the people from these places. This is simply put, a review of these locations at Epcot. None of this is a commentary on the people or citizens or a history. Trust me, please, please, please. That is not my intent with this episode. This is a lighthearted romp through the World Showcase where we take down the places that need it based on just their pavilion. I also solemnly swear I'm doing like the Girl Scout honor. I agree that I will not cheat and I will not give Germany an automatic first place because of Caramel Kusch. I will not do that. I swear to you. I am also now remembering that I have received calls about this and that it is not pronounced that way. It is pronounced Kuche, which feels unnatural for me to say, but that is the correct way. And I will try to do it from here on out. I am very sorry, but I assure you, Caramel Kuche will not be given first place ranking just because it is so delicious. It is my favorite place. I love you, Werther, so much. I am biased. I know that, but I will do my best to work through that to be as fair as possible. Now, today we are doing a three-tiered system of rankings for the World Showcase pavilions. We are ranking them on the details, which is layout, architecture, essentially what has been done to make this swampland look like another real-world region, the dining, food, snacks, drinks, restaurants, and the stuff to do, attractions, characters, shopping, art, kind of all of that. There is a maximum of 5 points per category for details, dining, and stuff to do that each World Showcase Pavilion can get for a total of 15. And I can tell you now, let me look at my notes. No one got that. One came close, but not everybody got that. Now, actually, a few came close. I think like a few came close. For dining, this will mostly be about the food, not really about beverages or even non-alcoholic beverages, because I don't really drink either of those. I know every country has like a fun festive beer, but I don't know what that means. I'm also not out here getting like flavored teas. So we are going to mostly focus on the actual food and especially the age accessible items offered at these locations. And one last time, because I'm quite paranoid of this episode being taken out of context. When I say we are reviewing these countries, I am not saying the real countries. I'm not pitting country against country like some sort of bachelorette dating contest for the hottest country in Orlando. I am merely evaluating this from the perspective of someone who has visited these countries in Epcot. Whether or not I have been to the real region does not matter. It is really just based on their imprint at Epcot. Again, please, I need to stress that again. Last time, it's not about the real places, it's just about the Epcot versions. And yes, while in real life, when we are in Epcot, you start with Mexico and you go the correct way, unless you are leaving through, you know, through the gateway or you are wanting maple popcorn. If you do that, you go to the right, but you go to the left. You walk in Epcot and you take a left to Mexico. We are not doing that today. What? Oh my gosh. We are going the other way. We are starting with Canada. And I thought that that would maybe help quell my biases and not put me in the footprints of the places I usually stop on my journey through the World Showcase. We're going to do the opposite direction just to kind of enrich my rankings with a more critical view than usual. So, we will begin for the first and only time in the start position on this podcast with Canada. And Canada is really just the most low-key of Epcot pavilions. If you're looking for an iconic character to cling on to, an experience that guidebooks will recommend, you will find none of it here. It's essentially the public park of Epcot's World Showcase. But that's okay, because parks are good. And it's also kind of low-key a park too. They have landscaping modeled after Victoria Gardens, which is a place I've never been to, but based on this, it's gotta be cute. It's kind of tucked out of the way, but it's so beautiful. And the layout of the Canada Pavilion is wonky AF. They got like stairs going up one way, they got like a ramp the other way. It's not very inviting, in my opinion. The foyer of the Canada Pavilion is not as great as it could be. But boy, do they have a waterfall. An incredible waterfall. But at the end of the day, I just don't feel like I get enough Canada from this. I wish there was like some sort of educational spokesperson walking around. Maybe like a mountain slide playground in the back representing their rich heritage of winter sports. But from the perspective of someone who has spent probably more time in Canada than in the Canada Pavilion, this ranking really comes down to like how much does this waterfall entice me? And it's beautiful, but it doesn't really pull me into the pavilion. So I'm going to give Canada a 2. But you know what? You know what? I feel like because it is low-key just beautiful and landscaped well, which a lot of these pavilions aren't, I'm going to give it a 3. It deserves it. The dining. Okay, this is a different story. Now listen, their iconic food is cheese soup. Have you ever heard of anything more Disney than that? An excuse to eat liquid cheese as an actual respectable meal? It's Wisconsin coded and I gotta love them for it. But on top of that, they have got a flavored popcorn that is growing on me immensely. It is neck and neck with caramel corn at this point. It is my mom's favorite, the maple popcorn that they have, the Canada Pavilion. She always gets it. And we, the last time we went, we got it warm. It was warm. And my mom had 3 of them under her arm waiting for me to go to the bathroom. And I came back and she was just like, living her life, snacking on these popcorns. Having that warm will change your brain chemistry. And I swear it does rival Werther's caramel corn. It really, really does. Add in Le Cellier is a solid sit-down option. And you got this great grab-and-go snack and yeah, this place is getting a 4. But when it comes to stuff to do in Canada, here is where things get interesting. Because on the surface, they really don't have that much going on. Well, they've got live music, and it's done at a venue that opens up onto the walkway with seating, which is clutch. We love that. They really only have Canada Far and Wide as an attraction. And while I think I'm going to drag it. But you will not catch me out here low-ranking Eugene Levy and Catherine O'Hara, okay? Co-stars of SCTV? It's like having 2 SNL All-Stars hosting a large-format film at Epcot that nobody ever really sees. This is what the Jimmy Fallon ride at Universal should be, okay? It should be comedians like this, just riffing and having fun and teaching me something. You got the cast of Schitt's Creek hosting an Epcot attraction, and that is something we cannot be snoozing on. And yeah, we had to lose Martin Short in the old format of the film for it, something I bet Disney really regrets with the success of Hulu's Only Murders in the Building. Like, wow, that would have been a pretty good tie-in. But we gotta throw some praise where we get it, which is funny because I don't like watching these films. Like, I'm sorry, but in the middle of my theme park day, I don't want to lean. Give me a sit. Give me a seat. Let me chill. Let me spread out. Like, Circle Vision should be armchairs. There should just be nice, comfy places to sit. Couches, cozy. It should be like a nice place to tuck up and watch a movie. Not an oppressive place where all you can think about is how badly you would like to sit down in a chair. Then this is something you'll learn about me as we progress through, because that's kind of all I'm going to say about these films. I'm just kind of like, let me sit. Knowing I can't sit is what makes me so stressful. I don't think about that in a regular queue for an attraction. But here I'm like, all I can do is lean. It's all I can think about. But between all of these Circle Vision large format films, I'm gonna praise the one hosted by Catherine O'Hara over a regular old school one. But this land is absolutely lacking a certain modern Disney oomph. Like, can we just put an outfit on Goofy and shove him in here? I feel like he would look so great in a cool outfit by the waterfall. He would fit in so well here. And the lack of IP is negatively affecting a lot of lands, but I do weirdly feel it more in Canada. So unfortunately, to my Canadian friends, again, not a reflection on you, I adore you. Canada is getting a 2. Now, to recap, that is a 3 for details, a 4 for dining, and 2 for stuff to do, giving Canada a total of 9. Next up, the United Kingdom. And for the details here, it's got a real Riviera Resort lobby situation going on here, because while it is undeniably beautiful, the layout could not be more bizarre. What do you mean there's a music venue almost entirely hidden from view? What do you mean it's the only pavilion that really feels like it's just split in half? You can go to Epcot 100 times and just think of this place as a pub, a fish and chip stand, and a phone booth photo op, because that's basically been me. I almost never turn in and walk around because I'm like, why? I see it. I'm just going to keep walking. UK is kind of in like the rump of the World Showcase, but it does make good use of the space. I mean, it's charming, it's quaint. They've got over 300 years of architecture represented. Yeah, I did a little Googling. There's a hedge garden, cool, but the layout, it's so disjointed, and having some of it hidden from view just feels weird. But does it do the trick? It kind of does. Then again, if France has the Eiffel Tower, shouldn't London have like Big Ben or like something, like some big icon? I just don't see an icon like its channel neighbor, you know? And so for that, UK for details is getting a 2.5. When it comes to dining, I mean, what can you say? They got it. British snackies in the shop, a whole tea store, fish and chip stand, a full pub restaurant? What else can you ask for? I don't even really want to eat here usually, but I gotta recognize that they kind of have the most truly iconic eatery for their locale possible. So UK's getting a 5. The stuff to do though. So Brit Rock is really not my vibe, but we're gonna focus on the positives. They low-key have what I would call a hidden Winnie the Pooh meet and greet. And I know many of you probably know about it, but a casual Epcot guest is not gonna know Winnie the Pooh is hanging out in this pavilion. Absolutely not. It feels like a portal to the 90s when you go there in the best way possible. Something about that back portion of the shops where like the Winnie the Pooh meet and greet is feels like, I don't know, it like takes me back to when like putting a Disney promotional VHS into your tape player and then like being sucked into the TV and landing there. Like it just feels like it transports you in time and space to this meet and greet that nobody really talks about, and I bet many people don't even know about. I rarely go into these stores just because, I mean, see aforementioned rant about the layout, but not only that, they also have Alice in Wonderland. They've got an animated character and a princess, which is no small feat. They've also, if you think about it, got outdoor waterfront seating, a full restaurant, and I know we're not talking about food, but they do kind of have a robust program here. When I land in Orlando, I'm not like, ooh, I gotta get to the UK pavilion. But there is a vibe there, and I think it needs to be rewarded. So I'm going to say they get a 3.5 minus the half for a 3. And don't yell at me, because I am dinging them that half a point for a very good reason. We almost had a Mary Poppins attraction and it was ripped away from us, ripped away. And I know not every pavilion can have a ride, and we will discuss that in this episode. That's okay. But they publicly announced it. I wrote about it from national publications. It was real and they took it back. And I am still hurt about it. So they are getting a 3 and I stand behind it. Now their total, let me make sure I have the math correctly, because math is not my strong suit. Okay, for details, we got a 2.5, dining a 5, and stuff to do a 3. 2.5, 5, and 3. I have to have a little grid so I keep track. That is, listen to how slow I add. Are you ready for this? 10.5, if my math is right. Also, I have a really bad feeling I'm going to get a churros call from someone who's like an elementary math teacher that is like, do you want digital tutoring? I might need it after this episode. I don't know why I chose so many numbers, but we're getting there. Yeah. 10.5. Yeah. 10. Yeah. Oh, no. I'm giving them a 3. Yeah. Yeah. 2.5. Yeah. That's how math works. Cool. Cool. We are hop, skipping, and jumping our way over to France. And for the details, well, 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 let's just break it down a little bit here. Because my review of this would be different before the expansion that they made to accommodate Remy's Ratatouille Adventure when it opened. The pavilion kind of doubled in size. And now it's like a whole different beast than it used to be. The fake Eiffel Tower is not going to see any takedowns from me today. I can tell you that. But we're in like a tricky situation here because it is split and there's these two portions and it wasn't developed as them being cohesive, which they're really not. But because we have so many pavilions and so much to talk about, I got to be picky, picky, picky. And that is going to happen here with the France Pavilion. Now, this land is themed to La Belle Époque, which was 1870 to 1910. And I would be raving about the France Pavilion if Epic Universe didn't just kind of sort of do it better. I know they're different. And the time frame is ever so slightly different. It's close. It's about, I think, 10-ish years after the end of this time period. And while the expansion is lovely, that back pathway is fun. It's like, oh, a new secret edition. Unlike the UK, I'm sorry, I don't like the way the UK is split up. I'm fine with the way France is split up because they have that big walkway now. So if you're getting a big rush to Remy's, it's not crowding the small land. Like Frozen in Norway can get crowded, crowded, crowded. But I gotta ding France knowing what I know is now possible. When you walk in to that wizarding world at Epic Universe, you feel like you are in France. And that is the ultimate goal. So because I know it can be done better, I'm unfortunately going to have to give France a 4. I would have given them a higher score, but I feel like that is accurate knowing what I know now. As for the dining, y'all know where this is gonna go. We got multiple restaurants, 4 in total. We got 2 exterior food stands and an ice cream shop. I think that amount is right. Right, we got that one and that one. That one and that one. Yeah, there's so much dining. This like really isn't a pavilion. It's its own theme park land. Think about it. It really is. And even though I find the boulangerie to be incredibly stressful and the seating to be surprisingly limited in the old portion of this pavilion, like there used to be a table and I'd sit out and bring my stuff outside, gone. There's like nowhere to sit. I ate ice cream standing up. Like it's just toit, toit, toit in there. But regardless of all that, it's getting a 5. It's obviously getting a 5. You can get iconic ice cream, iconic bistro. They have like iconic snacks and they have an iconic drink, which I said I wouldn't talk about, but we got to talk about it here because it's pretty iconic. And then they added a creperie, which I don't go to because I don't like crepes, but they have so much French food that you can have a full day's worth of food there and still not eat everything. They got a high-end restaurant. They got a Parisian bistro, 10s across the board, which here are 5s. So it's getting 5s across the board for dining. And stuff to do. It's kind of like that house on the block that they knocked down to build a fancy mansion, but they like did a good job. Like it's not a hideous one. It's like a cute farmhouse one. They really retained its original spirit when they added that back alley section. But to, you know, expand upon the expansion further, they also gave us Remy's Ratatouille Adventure, which really fits perfectly here. An all ages attraction at Epcot that's in story, that feels French, but also ties back to IP we know. That is the future of Disney parks. Like it or not, that's the future of Disney parks. And I think it transferred beautifully from Disneyland Paris or Walt Disney Studios Park or Disney Adventure Park. I think pretty sure that's a new name. It transferred here and I think it works really, really well. And while they have that dual film opportunity with Beauty and the Beast and Impressions de France, France, it seemed weird to say France after saying Impressions Day. But anyway, so many of these spots only have one film and they've got multiple. They've got a ride. They also got that acrobat, that dude doing live entertainment. And they've made the waterfront area look like you're on the Seine. And the shops have Disneyland Paris merchandise, low key. They have a ton of it. And they've got Princesses up the Wazoo, Aurora and Belle. It's getting a 5. Also, what is the deal? To go back to food, what is the deal with Monsieur Paul? Why is nobody talking about it? Nobody talks about Monsieur Paul. I gotta revisit it. Okay. Details, 4. Dining, 5. Stuff to do, 5. Wow, wow, wow. France is clocking in at 14 compared to UK's 10.5 and Canada's 9. Okay. Next up is Morocco. And we gotta talk about Morocco because the details, baby. They are stunning to a level that we will likely never experience again. And while dining and details are different categories, and they aren't tied together in this ranking, unfortunately, we must make an exception for Morocco because here they do kind of go hand in hand. Because Morocco, without a doubt, is the most beautiful pavilion at Epcot's World Showcase. But there is quite literally no reason to walk through it now that Restaurant Marrakech has closed. Restaurant Marrakech is now basically like sometimes used as a Florida Blue air-conditioned lounge during Food and Wine Fest, which is currently happening. Also, I didn't realize until literally this day that they provide limited, kind of like free seating for Eat to the Beat, which is pretty rad. I assume they're still doing that through 2025. That's pretty cool. I didn't know that because I'm not going to the Florida Blue air-conditioned lounge. Sorry, I'm not. But enough about Florida Blue. Enough about Florida Blue! Because this beautiful pavilion leads back, like, perfectly in story, like, carries you back to a location that is no more. And the fact that, like, ooh, this beautiful pavilion, this expanse, you go through it and you wind up at a partnership buyout for an insurance company feels icky. And while the other food offerings in this pavilion are good, I have to give them a hit on the front end because while so beautiful, there is almost no reason to ever walk back there again. So they, for details, are getting a 4.5. Still a very high score. Still a very, very high score, but it can't be perfect because of what I said. And the dining. We have a little more to sink our teeth into here. Spice World Table is one of the best seating setups I know of at Epcot, both indoor and outdoor, waterfront views. We love options, and that bar in the middle is lovely. They also low-key got that cookie stand. Nobody talking about that cookie stand. They got that cookie stand! And I believe I'm saying this correct, Tangerine Cafe, which in other iterations I have visited on many work trips and took dinner back to my hotel from. Clutch move, by the way. If you stay in the Epcot Resort Hotel Loop and you eat late, maybe you're on West Coast time like me, get food to go. You can always get food to go, and it's nice to eat it in your hotel room. But the format of that place has changed a couple times. The menu's a little different. I just went to check it, and I didn't see hot mint tea on the menu, which was my old school go-to. I haven't gotten it in a few years now, and now I'm scared to find out if it's still there. And the closure of Restaurant Marrakech, which had really good food, removes one of their main offerings. They had couscous. They had live entertainment. It was a huge pandemic-era loss that I'm still sad about. So knowing what we could have had and what we have now, it's getting a 3.5 for dining. And stuff to do in the Morocco Pavilion. What has happened to the Morocco Pavilion needs to be brought in front of the UN. I'm sorry, it does. To have a beautiful pavilion and zilch to do there is heartbreaking. You can meet Jasmine, and there's an art gallery. But come on, man, I love it here and I still got nothing to promote. Don't even make me talk about that race against the sun or whatever that is, because it is bleak and sad and I don't care. We need something special here, something special. It deserves it. But for now, it has done the bare minimum. But it has a character, so I'm going to give it a 1.5. Now, that's 4.5 details, 3.5 dining, and a sad, our lowest score so far, 1.5 for stuff to do, which brings it to a 9.5. It is currently in third place out of the four areas we have discussed. Next up, Japan. And when it comes to details, honestly, it does the job. I mean, we could have a backwards expansion and have like one more thing, maybe like, oh, like a small little neighborhood street with like different little businesses and food stalls, something, because I know if they expanded this, it would absolutely slay. But we got a torii gate, we got a pagoda, we got that little garden that I never walked through and definitely should. The sight lines from up on top are beautiful. Like, they nailed it. And so I'm going to give him a 4.5. And I know if your memory works, which mine doesn't, but I want to flag it for those who are good students, or at least were, because clearly I was not. I cannot do the addition. They did get a higher score than France, which got a 4, which may feel weird because France feels so like the French pavilion. But I really feel like the approach and standing in this pavilion feels more transportive than, I think that's the word, transportive, than being in the France Pavilion. Because something about that fountain that divides it down the middle, the OG France Pavilion, it makes it crowded. The fountain doesn't feel like, oh, I'm in France. Like, there's so much about that area that is French, but the fountain doesn't really do it for me. It just kind of, like, fills space. And a lot of that you know, like the theming is coming from the neighboring restaurant, the bistro, the boulangerie. So Japan does get a higher score than France. I'm sorry. Sorry, it's getting a 4.5. And the dining, I mean, are you joking? Five. Of course it gets a 5. But that said, even with all that we have, and we have so much, we have so much in the Japan Pavilion. We have shave ice. We have quick service food. We have teppanyaki. We have that new killer sushi restaurant. We even have a supreme high-end restaurant with Takumite. Wow, having a young child has really restricted me from fine dining at Epcot. I need to make some Amusapalooza week reservations. But I do always think there's a little room for improvement. But then again, Katsura Grill covers the rest of the grounds with udon and ramen and chicken cutlet and curry. So I'm just nagging, ignore me, fives all around for Japan dining. But stuff to do. So offerings are slim. Yes, we do have a bit of entertainment, thank goodness, with the Matsuriza. I've never said that out loud. Matsuriza, the drummers, the live drummers, if you've ever seen them, the Japan Pavilion. That is always fun. And Mitsukoshi is great. It is easily the best store at Epcot, unless you're my mother at 9:22 p.m. and going through every item at Creation Shop after nighttime entertainment and before the park closes. But when one of your two top offerings in this land is spending money, I gotta dock it some points. I mean, it is a great store. The Pavilion is mostly store. When you take away all the food, it's mostly store. That said, though, their gallery is actually what I want more of in some of these lands, particularly the pavilions that have Disney presences in their country. They have a Kauai exhibit, and even though it's almost 10 years old now, I think, like, wow, that's a long time to go with an exhibit, I do think that it's enticing and it's fun to visit and it's really relatable as Kauai culture becomes even bigger in America year over year. So with that, and I guess they got fun things to buy. They don't really have a character, but it's fine. I'm going to give it a 2. To recap, Japan gets 4.5 for details, 5 for dining, and 2 for stuff to do. In first place, we still have France with 14. Second place, Japan, pulled up with 11.5. And in third place, the UK, surprisingly, a pavilion I never thought I rode for at 10.5. Stick around. We will be right back with the back half of World Showcase. And there are some doozies ahead. We'll see you on the other side. It finally happened, y'all. It finally happened. I felt a breeze in the air, which means it's time for fall, the very best season for wearing whatever you want to. Cooler days are going to call for layers that last, and Quince has all the quality essentials for feeling cozy and looking refined without blowing your budget. These are going to be the pieces that turn into your year-round uniform. We're talking about $50 Mongolian cashmere, premium denim that fits like a dream, and luxe outerwear you're probably going to wear year after year. Looking like the chicest person in your Instagram feed has never been easier, because Quince partners directly with top-tier ethical factories and cuts out the middlemen, delivering luxury quality pieces at half the price of similar brands. I know you've heard me talk about Quince month after month, but I gotta tell you, I switched it up. I placed a little fall order at Quince, and I got items that I know are going to last me through fall, winter, and every season after that. I got a Mongolian cashmere cardigan sweater in this beautiful bright red that's gonna look just as good with jeans as it will with a dress. I got a baby alpaca wool turtleneck that is the perfect kind of oversized I was looking for, and a washable silk skirt. Which together, ideal for fall, with tights perfect for winter, and honestly, the exact outfit combo I've been needing for things like a Disney cruise. When you need a light little sweater for dinner, but if you go outside, you want to still be able to feel nice in the breeze in the summertime. The idea of loading up on basics is so annoying. It's a task. But honestly, it isn't at Quince. Their selection is refined, the reviews are really reliable, and it makes shopping stylish, smart, and finally easy. Find your fall staples at Quince. Go to quince.com/amusing for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's also available in Canada now, too! Yeah! That's quince.com/amusing for free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/amusing. Guys, I found where all the good presents are hiding. It's kind of like that scene when you're on Pirates of the Caribbean where there's all the gold coins and gems and jewels, only it's the perfect gifties for literally everyone you've ever met, and it's all at Uncommon Goods. Uncommon Goods makes holiday shopping stress-free and joyful. They literally make it fun with thousands of one-of-a-kind gifts you can't find anywhere else. And if you don't believe me, buckle up, sister. They've got Candy of the World Advent Calendar, a make-your-own churros kit, create-your-own viewfinder with the little slides and the photos like the old-school toy. Pearl is absolutely getting that for the holidays because all the cool gifts are hiding here and hanging out together just waiting for you. I went shopping to find the very best stuff to recommend, which is the only way I can justify the 40 blissful minutes I just spent during my workday shopping on Uncommon Goods. I have 22 tabs open right now, and I'm abandoning all of the ad copy they suggested just to yell at you about the unique, special, and perfect array of presents you will find on Uncommon Goods. They've got a swaddle that makes a baby look like a burrito. They've got a DIY cuckoo clock. 12 days of freeze-dried ice cream for your space-obsessed kid. They've got that too. A whiskey-making kit. All of these are under $100, many of them well under, by the way. Like custom message shortbread cookies. I gotta remember that for birthdays for close friends. A candy bowl that looks like a dachshund. Glow cubes for kids' bath times. This little insulated food container that looks like a little cow or dinosaur that I'm not sure if I'm gonna get for Pearl or for me. Nail files that look like a puppy and a cat. So when you file down your nail, you're scratching their belly. They've got mystery prize bath bombs with money hidden in them. This is the world's best boutique. I am not joking. And you will find everything for someone in your life here. So shop early this holiday season, have fun, and cross some names off your list today. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/amusing. That's uncommongoods.com/amusing for 15% off all that stuff. I mean, you might literally make money with 15% off and the bath bombs with money inside. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods. We're all out of the ordinary. Welcome back, and we are discussing the American Adventure. Now, for the details, you know, it's really one big building, which I guess, I looked this up because I didn't know. It takes cues from the classic Georgian style of the late 1700s and Colonial Williamsburg and Thomas Jefferson's Monticello, whatever. It's not doing it for me, okay? It's just not giving me enough America on the outside. And kind of on the inside, too. I don't know. Maybe I just love to be overstimulated. Maybe I just want to be, like, pummeled with bald eagles. But when you're able to annex an entire upper floor of the structure to Club 33, and I still don't even get, like, any sort of East Coast country club vibe out of it, we're done. Like, Yacht Club, Disney's Yacht Club, feels more American to me than this entire pavilion. Also, like, doesn't Disney practically own Hamilton at this point? Why is there no tie-in? Anyway, I will calm down. And I'm just not obsessed with this pavilion. I don't have any emotional feeling when I walk through it. And as an American, I feel like I probably should. And I'm saying that even having heard Voices of Liberty sing inside this pavilion for my friend Jeffrey's birthday party a few years ago, which was excellent, but that was a separate event. And I can't rank this off of a separate event. So don't hate me, okay? Do not hate me. Do not hate me. Do not hate me. It's getting a one. It's getting a one, okay? And that is not a reflection on the American Adventure performance, the experience, okay? This is just the details, the exterior, etc. So hold your USA horses, okay? Hold your horses. Also, it's weird that the show has the same name as the pavilion. I've always found that very confusing. Moving on to dining. On one hand, it's Muppets. On the other hand, this pavilion's best known for a brick-shaped ice cream plopped on top of a funnel cake. Couldn't we do more here? Like, we all live here. We're not eating funnel cake with ice cream three times a day. Like, can we highlight, I don't know, American manufacturers, American culinary inventions? Couldn't we have, like, a club cool of, like, American-made condiments and products? If this was a permanent World's Fair, show me World's Fair. They're really missing so much potential, especially because we are, in the World Showcase, the host pavilion. I mean, we partner with chefs in other pavilions. Why can't we partner with, like, I don't know, an American pitmaster for the restaurant? Like, what if the different barbecue options were made in partnership with a different barbecue style pro. You know what I mean? Like, just make it a little more American in terms of highlighting the craftsmanship of these people who make delicious food. Like, they have Kansas City smoked chicken, Texas beef briskets. Why wouldn't we do cool chef partnerships there? Do like unique to Epcot spice blends. Honor the talented food purveyors in our country. And while I love you, Muppets, I love you. I look around my office as I record this and I'm surrounded by them. I gotta give it a 2.5 because we can do so much better. We can really highlight food in America so much better, even without building anything. We don't have to open anything. We just can like tweak it, like partner with some cool people, like really make it fresh and fun and new. And we haven't done that. So it's getting a 2.5. The stuff to do in the American adventure. I know y'all, and I'm scared to say an ill word about these here robots, okay? But we're not even gonna speak on them because the American adventure has something nobody else has. They have the best bathrooms in the World Showcase. And if you have a tummy problem or you have a child, which I have both, honey, scoot your way on over here because you are going to be delighted by the cleanest bathrooms in Epcot and the best place to use the facilities. Also, I realized like the band shell counts. The band shell counts as part of this. And Boys to Men aren't playing in like France or Italy, you know? So I kind of low-key gotta give this pavilion a 4.5 just because of that. I know it doesn't technically deserve it. There are no characters, there's no real ride, but they sometimes have John Stamos telling a story of Christmas, which I have seen and I made an exemption for because I wanted to see him perform live and he was great and my mom met him and it was worth it and it was lovely because he's a fantastic man. Big, we ride for John Stamos. But here in this quirky pavilion, they have real celebrities on stage included with park admission, and we must clap for that. Also, the only place in Epcot that Hanson can perform Mbop and it fits in story is here. It's nowhere else. So for that, they must be handsomely rewarded. Now, the American Adventure has a 4.5 for stuff to do, a 2.5 for dining, and I believe I gave it a 1 for details, which brings their total to, if my math is right, 8. First place, still France. Yeah, they're on the bottom. Oh, cool, they're on the bottom of all the countries. Cool. Okay, sorry, America. Moving on. We are going to Italy now. And I still remember seeing the Italy Pavilion for the first time, and it felt like a wonderful smack in the face. The scale to which they built this is a scale we don't always get. It looks so good there that there was that meme on TikTok recently of people joking about being at Epcot when they were actually in Italy. It's that good. And I could break down the different designs, like Venetian architecture and the fountain. But truly, like, they could have made this a faux Colosseum, and they didn't do that. They didn't go with the first thought. So we must reward them with a 4.5, which is on par with Japan and Morocco and just above France. And I think that is an accurate ranking. As for the dining in the Italy Pavilion, it's basically a food court at a high-end mall. I mean, we got wine, we got a sit-down food, we got the cave restaurant, we got the Via Napoli pizza, we got gelato. They got it all. They got it all. And they would get a 5, but I do think the pizza window could be better. I have heard endless complaints about the pizza window not being good, so much so that I have not gone to the pizza window because everyone in my life, my personal friends, my people I know who live in Orlando are like, don't do the pizza window, dude, don't do it. So if they fix that, I'm going to give them a 5. So until then, I'm going to give them a 4.75. Just a little ding. Because I was looking up photos on Disney Food Blog and it looks good. I don't eat certain kinds of pizza. I love Via Napoli. Like, I will not eat pizza in LA just to hold out for Via Napoli. And I love like a thick, like a grandma slice, like a thick piece of pizza. I'm from Chicago. What do you expect from me? I want either thin crispy tavern or I want like a big old sloppy piece of pizza, or I want like Via Napoli style. Like, those are the pizzas that I'm into. And the photos look pretty good. Like, I would order that and eat it. So I'm going to give it a 4.75 and I'm going to feel okay about it and not at all panic about the fact that yesterday I went over to my friend's house and I said I don't like pizza and they ended up ordering Greek food because I don't eat pizza and everyone was razzing on me for not liking pizza. Okay? Okay, I don't eat Italian food and I still am giving this place a 4.75. I just don't like pasta. Okay, I shouldn't have said that on mic. Oh no. Okay, I shouldn't have told the public. I need to move on. Stuff to do. Please don't call the Churros Hotline. I just don't like pasta. It's a whole thing. I just don't like it. Okay. Anyway, but I'm probably gluten intolerant. I don't know. Okay, moving on. Stuff to do. Oh my God, please don't. I can't believe I admitted that publicly. I usually don't tell people that. Okay, moving on. I'm like shaking. I don't want to tell you what. Stuff to do. Okay, why does this pavilion have like 4 restaurants and sell designer bags and have a beautiful waterfront view and literally nothing to do? nada to do. And not just for pizza, people who don't really eat pizza. Like, I thought there was more, but I looked it up and there's the juggler. There's the juggler and that's it. There's the juggler and that's it. So, sorry, Italy, you're getting a one. It can't be higher than Morocco, okay? There's nothing to do here. It's getting a one. That's a one for stuff to do, a 4.75 for dining. Again, huge for me. Please don't hold it against me. I'm so sorry. I shouldn't have told anyone. I'm on mic and I forget that sometimes I'm talking to real people. And for details, it got a 4.5, which brings it to, oh, that can't be right. 8, 9. No, that would be 10.25. See, I have to check my work. 4, 8, 9, 10. 10.25. It is just behind UK, but it is not in the top three. Top three is currently France at 14, Japan at 11.5, and UK at 10.5. Next up, Germany. The one we've been waiting for. Okay, girl, center yourself. Do not be biased about the popcorn. Do not do it. Do not be biased about the popcorn. You can, listen, you're a journalist. You can do this. And if we're talking about details, it's so cute. It's like being in a storybook village that's real. And I don't want to get ahead of myself, but I have to dock points here, and I will talk about it momentarily. I have to give it a 3.5, and I will tell you why very, very soon. Because let's just start talking about the dining, and then it'll all make sense. The dining at the Germany Pavilion at Epcot. Get ready for a big score on the board, and not just for caramel corn, because Germany secretly has the most themed dining in Epcot. In all of Epcot. You already know this. You know my visit to Beer Garden in February changed me forever. I have been changed for good, to quote the Wickeds, because of the Germany Pavilion. And it's getting a 5 by itself just for that restaurant. So yeah, well, the fix is in because... Here we go. The fix is in because... Caramel Kusha. Yeah, I did it. Okay, I could do it. Because Caramel Kusha is the confection. Also, thank you when people point things out of me saying things incorrectly, because I sometimes really don't know. I do appreciate those calls, so thank you. Caramel Kusha is the confectionery. I wish we had this at other parks also, or like a version of a Werther-sponsored place, because Magic Kingdom's candy shop, that confectionery, being in bed with the Mars Candy Company is not good, y'all. We do not talk about it enough. And yeah, I know there's a whole popcorn moment there, whatever. I don't want soggy, like chocolate sauce covered popcorn. I don't want it. It's not for me. If you enjoy it, that's fine. But that's not the issue. The treats in the treat case. This partnership between Disney and the Mars Candy Company, they are churning out some of the most cursed desserts I've ever witnessed with my human eyes. Skittles do not belong in the confectionery window treats. They don't belong there. Skittles don't belong there. And all of the offerings there are just like, wait, what? I literally walked past it when I was there like a week or so ago, and not even realizing I was saying it out loud, I went, oh no. Like just, oh, I think someone heard me too. Like I was just so taken aback by how grotesque some of those creations were. But here is a perfect partnership. Werther's, the Germany Pavilion, it's heaven. And that's not even why it's getting a 5. It's getting a 5 because Beer Garden is perfect. It has a mix of true old school themed dining. Like they have like stadium seating style dining so you can watch live performances. You get to like get up and dance. The beautiful interiors make you feel like you're inside outside, which is something I love, which we'll obviously talk about when we get to Mexico. And I don't know, I feel like I could have docked it points here, but I, to loop back, chose to dock points in details because one of the best things to look at in this pavilion is inside that restaurant. So much of this pavilion is inside that restaurant and you can't see it unless you're dining there. So dining, they're gonna get a 5. I mean, they got caramel apples here wearing lederhosen. That, like, if I could give it a 10, I would. I guess I can, I'm the judge, but that's not fair. I can't expand it like that. However, because they're getting a 5 for dining, but because the dining is so good and that restaurant is so themed, I do think it takes away from the details. So details need to be dinged a little and they will be at 3.5. But when it comes to stuff to do, oh, Germany, we got a problem here. I do believe, honestly, that the scent wafted outside the shop can legally be considered an attraction. Smelling caramel couche. Couche. Yeah, that's what it was, right? Oh, did I already forget? I've been pretty sure my brain, I looked it up before this just to make sure. Wait, is it still here? Hold on. I think you can still hear it. Kusha. Caramel Kusha. Okay, we got there. Sorry, I have a terrible memory. I'm trying to say these words right. I promise. Caramel Kusha. Like, that scent could legally be considered an attraction, like I just said. And they do have, they apparently have Snow White in the Germany Pavilion. I've never seen that, but apparently they do. And they have live music, but like, a smell of Snow White and some tunes, I'll give it a 2. I'll give it a generous 2. That's a 2 for stuff to do, a 5 for dining, and 3.5 for details, which, if my math is right, 10.5 for Germany, tied with the UK in third place. In third place. Next up is China. And if we're talking details, oh my gosh, it's beautiful. It's just so beautiful. There's nothing to do, but we'll get to that shortly because it is stunning. Go on a walk around there and like try to fight me on this. It's getting a 4.5. It is beautiful. The China Pavilion, mwah, beautiful. And the dining. People are out here talking a lot of smack about the dining in the China Pavilion. It is usually like a punchline for people. But my friend Kendall was like, you kind of need to go to Nine Dragons. It's kind of legit. And she was right. And I have been going there. It is quietly so good. And I do wish they had maybe like a third little dining location with really authentic food because I feel like it could be a smash hit. Like soup dumplings, Szechuanese food, like anything, like something with like Sichuan peppercorn, like some spicy food. There's so much that can be done here for like a quick service thing to draw people in. And I do feel, especially, I don't feel this way about all the pavilions, but I do feel this way for the China Pavilion, that if they had like a little offering with maybe 3 very like intriguing items, everyone would go there to try them and it would be a huge boon to the entire pavilion. I really think that the dining could be improved by just having something worth stopping in there for that isn't like, oh, Chinese food, like something special to seek out that people may not experience at home. The essence of my terrible chocolate. So I think that they could do better, but I do think they're actually quietly doing a great job at Nine Dragons. The menu, like look at the menu. It's pretty legit. I did try some really spicy stuff there a while ago. I don't see it on the online menu, but it might be in person. I would have to check back the next time I go. But I'm going to give them a 3.5 with hopeful room for improvement because I do think offering a couple things worth drawing people in, like, you know, like offer a few things, get the vloggers in. If they like it, the word will spread. People will come here. I think it needs that kind of rejuvenation. The China Pavilion needs that. Come on, stuff to do. I mean, the worst is that, like, the most stuff you're going to do in the China Pavilion is probably going to be to play with those fluffy bird puppets on the outskirts of the walkway. You know what I mean? That's, like, the most we ever do in this pavilion. They got an updated Circle Vision. Like, they got a museum exhibit. They sometimes have Mulan. 2.5. Don't ask me any follow-up questions. There's nothing to do. Again, like, they need something to draw people in. There's nothing to do here. There's nothing to do here. 2.5. Okay. China, 2.5. 3.5 for dining. 4.5 for details brings it to 10.5, tied with Germany, tied with the UK. First place, France. Second place, Japan. Third place, 3-way tie, UK, Germany, China. Did not think I would see China on the board that high. Wow. Okay, China showing up. Next up, this may skew everything. We got Norway. And if we're talking Norway details, it was a huge improvement when Frozen came in. I'm sorry, like, they got new money to burn and it looks good. It looks fresh. The detail and design of the areas they added are quite beautiful. Like, I really think the addition of the Royal Sommerhus is stunning. So it's getting a 3, but actually, I'm gonna raise that. It's getting a 3.5. I'm sorry. I think they did a really good job. I think they did a really, really, really good job. But, buckle up. We got to talk about the dining because all of my thoughts here are centered on Akershus, the character dining offering in the Norway Pavilion. Put a little pin in that school bread, girl. Put a little pin in it because we got to talk about this restaurant. Now, pros. I love that they have Norwegian food. I love that. But, oh, sorry, we're just portaling in all these princesses? Like this is some Olympic United Nations gathering of royalty? No! That does not work for me and like kind of breaks the bounds of what the Epcot World Showcase is. Akershus should be an exclusively Frozen restaurant with all Frozen characters Full stop. I'm talking the rare ones. I'm talking Olaf, Sven, Kristoff, everyone. As the parent of a frozen Freakazoid, I would pay so much money for this. Why is Belle here? Why is Belle here? If you go on the website and you look up Akershus, I was right. The lead image is a photo of Belle. And then the next image is a photo of Snow White. Get out of town. Go home. Give me frozen dining. Give me frozen dining. And I love immigration. We love the diversity of princess, but come on now. How good would it be to have an entirely frozen themed restaurant next to the ride? It just makes sense. And yeah, I guess that would ding the character meet and greet and be a little tricky, but we've worked around that before. Just give it to me. Just give it to me. It would be so good. Like, oh, if you could see all the fringe characters of Frozen. And also now that they're announcing quadruple Frozen. Sorry, I couldn't catch my breath. They're announcing so many Frozens. Just do it. Just do it. I'm giving it a 3. Boo. Boo, I'm giving it a 3. Stuff to do here. Come on, you know what they're going to get. The Frozen was a huge upgrade for the masses. And I know, Maelstrom heads, don't come for me, okay? I know. Retro Epcot lives in our hearts. And Maelstrom is like a big chunk of that piece. But to have this set here, because they were going to open a Frozen something, to have this here and not in Fantasyland, to have this rooted in a realistic place, I think makes this ride better. And I don't think this ride is as good as it could be. So I think the placemaking of it is better. Also, they're changing the faces! Finally! They heard facelifts were in, and so they decided to give it to them. Anyway, stuff to do. Norway's getting a 5. Norway is getting a 5. That is a 5 for stuff to do, a 3 for dining, and a 3.5 for details, which brings it to 11.5. First place, France with 14. Second place, a tie. What? Norway, 11.5. With Japan, 11.5. And then a 3-way tie, 10.5. China, Germany, UK. But this one could mess up everything. Because last but not least, only in this order for this, not usually, is Mexico. And the pyramid entrance is so unique. The feeling like it's night when it's day. Heaven, I guess characters don't count for this. So we won't count that. But the design of this pavilion really feels so Epcot and feels so special. And they have so much going on in there that detail-wise, it's going to get a 5. You walk in through a gallery. Then you walk in and you're like, oh, is it night? Is it day? There's just so much to appreciate outside and inside this one that it really is special and it's different and it's unique. And it's obviously getting a 5. Now dining, oh my God, another 5. The beans get a 5 on their own, obviously. But I eat here constantly because it is that good. There are 3 full dining options and food at both bars. They have 5 different dining establishments. That's wacko. And I really enjoy all of them. So yeah, they're getting a 5. We're going fast with Mexico. Oh my Lord. And for stuff to do, you know, you would think there isn't that much to do, but I guess compared to the others, there kind of is. I mean, they have a character meet outside. They have an interior ride. They have mariachi band sometimes. They have jewelry ring carvers, which is like shopping, but it's also kind of a fun thing. I've bought rings there multiple times. They just, I don't know, they have a little of everything. I thought I would have more to say about Mexico, but I guess the ride could be improved. But they have a ride, they have a character, and they have a lot going on. And when it is like thriving, when there's like music and character, like when it all happens, it's like, oh, Mexico is a great place to be. So while it's not going to get a 5 for stuff to do, but I think I'm going to give it a 3.5. So 3.5 stuff to do, 5 dining, 5 details, brings us to 13.5. Immediate second place. We got first place France, second place Mexico, third place Thai, Japan, and Norway. Wow. Okay, not what I was expecting, but nonetheless, fantastic. I hope you enjoyed this ranking. I hope it wasn't offensive. I hope it was okay. I think we did okay, right? You know I'm talking about the Epcot pavilions, not the people, not the citizens, not the countries, not the territories. I love them all. I'm now extremely hungry, so I'm going to go have lunch. Thank you for listening. If you have any thoughts, ring, ring, call me up on the Churros Hotline because I would love to hear about it. Welcome back, Becky.
And I'm back. And there's more. Are you ready for more?
I'm always Becky, deals, deals, deals. Feed them to me.
Well, let's stay in the Disney realm for a second because obviously one of my favorite things ever is an Adventures by Disney. I'm kind of addicted to them. They're great ways of seeing the world, but still having a little bit of Disney magic. And they are still running that $400 off per person, or up to $300 for North America, for $400 for international. If you book by 12/31, and for that's travel through March 28th, so that savings is still available, and that usually goes pretty quickly. So if you're looking forward to maybe doing a little bit something different, but still in the Disney umbrella, that's for you. And speaking of maybe not so much a theme park, but still the amazing Disney experiences out at El Alani. Again, give me a beautiful lazy river and a cocktail to steer her by, and I am really, really happy, girl.
That's why we
And
get along. We have
exactly.
the same interests.
So they have save up to 25% of stays of 5 nights or more, or 20% on stays 4 nights. I just saw this out of the corner of my eye. Up to 30% off if you're a Disney Visa card holder. So there's a little additional 5% savings there. That's for select dates from January 4th to April 9th. So that's getting right up into that spring area where families are looking to get away. And if you want that warmth to get away to, Hawaii is a great example for it. Two others that I forgot about. Man, there's so many out there right now. And
So
again,
many.
this is not normal for this time of year. DCL is still running, Disney Cruise Line is still running their 35% off select sailings from Port Canaveral, Fort Lauderdale, and even Galveston on many of their 3, 4, 5, and 7 night sailings. Some of them even include some of their maritime cruises, which are a hot commodity. That is a great deal to dig into if you really want some savings on a Disney cruise, and you can travel pretty quickly. I'm noticing that a lot of these deals are closer in too for the ones that are coming out for Disney Cruise Line, so keep an eye on that. And last but not least, Royal Caribbean just announced their 60% off second guests plus kids sail free on select sailings. And we have an exclusive. If you book by October 31st, you can get a free specialty dining experience for two when you book a balcony or suite on most sailings 5 nights or longer. I know. Just if you just want to go on vacation for a month, you could do these one after another and have an amazing time. And of course, all of these could be, you can check them out, check our cruise offers and our rates, and just go to bookmeicruise.com. And we are happy to help you with any of these offers and Mousefan Travel, obviously, for our Disney ones.
Oh my gosh, thank you so much, Becky. I mean, listen, again, I say this, I feel like every time, it's my job to know what's happening in these parks, and I have not heard of all of these.
Yeah, and a couple of these just popped up to me too. So again, they are coming and going like waves on the sand.
Wow. Thank you so much, Becky, for this and for everything.
Yeah, see you soon.
Hi, Carly. My name is Jan. I live in Burbank, and I have a 7, almost 8-year-old daughter. I was listening to your episode about Epic Universe and all the different rides there and the ones that your mom didn't want to do. And my daughter is not a big fan of thrill rides. We're planning to go to Florida next spring break, so like March, and she'll be 8. But I'm not sure if we should go to Epic Universe or not. We're definitely planning Disney World. My husband and I are big theme park people, and we would like to see Epic because it sounds cool. But I just don't know that there's enough there for her to do. She likes rides like Radiator Springs Racers, and she does like an occasional, like a slow roller coaster, not something too crazy. She likes Space Mountain, but she won't ride Big Thunder Mountain. And she won't do Guardians of the Galaxy at California Adventure. So I'm just wondering if you think that there is enough there for us to do with an 8-year-old who doesn't love thrill rides. And my husband works for Universal, so we probably will have a free employee ticket if that factors into your decision. The time we'll be at Disney World. All right, I love your podcast. Thank you so much. Bye.
Hi, Jan. Hi from Burbank. Also, guys, Burbank is low-key my favorite, my favorite area of LA. Okay, and this is, I'm gonna digress for a second, but I just need to talk about Burbank because whenever I drive through Burbank, I'm like, oh, Oh, I'm in Los Angeles. It's like a breath of fresh air to me. And I think a lot of it is because at the end of the day, we're going on a tangent. We're going on a tangent, and I will get back to your question, I assure you. But to me, Burbank is like, reminds me that Los Angeles is really an artist's city. Like, this is where things are made. This is where people are pitching ideas that are in their little heads, and then they become TV shows and movies that people around the world watch. Like, it is an artistic city, and you don't always feel that when you're like, beep, beep, in traffic. So I love being in Burbank because it's like, oh, soundstage, just people hard at work making dreams come true. It's just really, it, that to me is like the Hollywood of it all, and I love it so much. Also, that's where Priscilla's is. Well, I guess it's maybe technically Toluca Lake, but it's like right there, which is one of my favorite coffee shops in LA. You hear me talk about it all the time. But let's get back to your question and not continually praise you for living in Burbank, because again, we love Burbank. Now, I listened to your call, and I was a little on the fence about if you should go or not until I learned it might be free. Go. If it's free, dude, you gotta be going. And even if it's not, I want to make sure I address your call for anybody who may be thinking about going to the park in a similar situation as you. Maybe going with someone like I did with my mom who doesn't go on thrill rides, somebody young, maybe somebody younger than your child, somebody older but has motion sickness, anything like that. I want to make sure we cover all of that in my response to you. But no matter your situation, there really is kind of no better high than going to Epic Universe for the first time. It is truly so cool to experience four bombastic themed lands. And no, I'm not counting the main hub one, Celestial Park. That's not a land. It's more like, it's not a land. I'm not calling it that. The four different portals to the lands. Going for the first time is so cool because you're just like fully in awe of all of it. And I think it is worth going to Epic Universe for that alone. You can truly make a day of it even if you don't go on the thrill rides. But because your inquiry about the rides is still valid, I want to break all of this down. The question I would ask you if we were talking in person would be, has your child gone on the Harry Potter rides at Universal's other parks? Because that would inform a lot of what my general response would be. Like, if your kid has gone on Harry Potter and their Forbidden Journey, they would be so fine on some of these. But if you're still unsure, I get the hesitation, and I'm going to break it down for you. There are definitely rides that I would say are off limits for her. I don't think she's going to be doing a Stardust Racers, which since our last episode a few weeks ago has reopened. I also would not recommend the Donkey Kong coaster because, one, the line is weirdly oppressive. It is so long. And the juice is really not worth the squeeze. It is unpleasant. That ride is a rough, rough ride. And truly, if your child is on the fence about coasters, skip it. That might take you two steps back instead of one step forward. The coaster in Dark Universe, Curse of the Werewolf, is probably a little aggressive for her if we're kind of on the fence about Big Thunder Mountain Railroad. But because that is outside, you can look at it and kind of explore it from that vantage point before you decide if you want to hop in line. But whether or not someone, your child, anyone else, is opting in on these big thrill rides, there is still so much for them to do at Epic Universe, especially on their first trip. I mean, baseline, we have wand experiences in Wizarding World of Harry Potter, playing with power-up bands in Super Nintendo World, exploring the lands themselves, seeing like what secrets are there, meeting characters. You've got the two shows, both in Wizarding World of Harry Potter and in Burke, the How to Train Your Dragon land, which you know I love. If you listen to the Epic Universe first episode, my recap from the park, you know I love them. You got the Yoshi ride, which is kind of like, what if an elevator was horizontal and that was the ride? That's kind of it. It's slower, significantly slower than People Mover. Significantly slower, but it's still a ride. It's something to do, and my mom loved it. The carousel is beautiful, and anybody of any ride, skill level, ability will love the carousel. I prefer it at night, but it's also beautiful during the day. You can probably be totally fine with the Mario Kart ride, even though it's really not that great. And there's also a water ride in Burke, the How to Train Your Dragon land, that's like a pirate ship shootout that gets you soaked. So not a chance I'm going on it, but your kid might be interested in that, especially on a hot day. And then there are a few things that are kind of on the line. I think Monsters Unchained is way less intense than a drop ride or a coaster, the type of things your kid won't go on. But being in a dark room filled with monsters for like four full minutes might melt her brain. So I would have a little concern about that. Also, a tip just for you specifically. The pre-show of that has a little model of what the ride vehicle is. It is way more aggressive in the example model than it is on the ride. You will look at that and be like, oh, I'm gonna get whiplash. You will not. You'll be fine. Just ignore that. It is what the mechanism is for the ride, but it's way more aggressive than the actual ride. The ride inside the Ministry of Magic, Harry Potter and the Battle at the Ministry, is a thrill ride, but I would even say it's more tame than something like Guardians, either Guardians on either coast. It is categorically a thrill ride, but to me, the concern is more motion sensitivity than actual thrill ride for that one. And if your kid can do Space Mountain, they can do Hiccup's Wing Glide Coaster. Oh, I'm sorry, Wing... That's hard to say out loud. Hiccup's Wing Gliders Coaster. And honestly, I want to emphasize that because I do feel like it might even be her favorite ride of the day. That is so fun. It is outdoor. It is like quick, but not scary quick. It is fun. I think it's maybe even closest to a Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, actually. It packs a lot of punch. It is so fun. And I highly recommend that, especially for you. But the main piece of advice I have for you and anyone who's wondering this going to Epic Universe is to watch YouTube videos of these rides to make sure. You can watch anything and everything on YouTube these days. So maybe sit down together, watch videos for the thrill rides, the ones that you're kind of on the fence about, and let her decide what she thinks is best before you even go. I do think it'll be immensely helpful since so many of these are so ambiguous until you see them in person. Like, Monsters Unchained, the Battle of the Ministry, they're all like behind walls. You can't see what they are. So watching a YouTube video just kind of clues you into what it is. And for these rides, I do think it is worth spoiling any sort of onboard reveal since we're talking about ride experience versus your kid's safety and comfort at the park. And that is what is more important here than like knowing what monster might pop out. But really, Epic Universe is an excellent park to visit for the first time. And to be so real with you, to go for free is something you gotta do. You gotta do it. I mean, my mom and I went knowing she couldn't go on many of the rides. And we just basically, I don't know, we like treated it like a mall with great exhibits and even better dining. And at a minimum, that will be a great day for you. You can have a sit-down dinner at Blue Dragon or Atlantic, which is like their fancy seafood restaurant. You can bop on the carousel right before the park closes, enjoy the ambience, the theming, the lands. You can meet Toothless. You can meet so many characters. You can meet like Princess Peach, I'm pretty sure is in Orlando also. Like there's so many Super Nintendo characters you can wait to meet, which is fun. You can visit one of two Starbucks, which I know it should be a joke, but let me tell you, as an exhausted theme park reporter, the fact that there's two Starbucks, there's an outdoor moment and an indoor moment is absolutely thrilling. I was so excited to get a coffee because I was so tired on my visit that I like poked my head in the window and was like, thank you all for your service. Like having two Starbucks is such a joy because you know there's not going to be a long, 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 long line. There's two different Starbucks. So you can go to either. Okay, I'm not going to like praise the two Starbucks anymore, but it really is exciting. As someone who's like doesn't like to feel exhaustion and loves to go, 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 two Starbucks, huge. And you can experience that for the low, low cost of my husband works at Universal. So definitely try it out. And if anyone else listening is kind of on the fence, going to Epic Universe for one day is great. Universal Orlando announced their new ticketing setup for 2026. It is easier to visit Epic Universe than it has been before. Check that out. I'm sure we will talk about it with Becky Mankin on our little segments in the future with any upcoming deals for Universal Orlando. So stay tuned for that. Check out the ticketing. Enjoy yourself. Have so much fun. And please call back and let me know how it goes. I want to know what your child ended up riding. Thanks for calling. Oh my gosh, have so much fun. That's our show! Thank you all so much for listening to our World Showcase Ranking episode. You can rate, review, and follow Very Amusing on Apple Podcasts and rate and follow us on Spotify. You can also give us a call at 747-TRUES about if you agree with me, if you don't agree with me. I'm scared to get the don't agree with me calls, but then again, not many of you came for me about Disney's Hollywood Studios. There was one person I know in my personal life. You know who you are. I'm not going to say your name on mic, but I got some texts. I got some texts and we discussed, and I do believe that Hollywood Studios will need a re-ranking in the future that I agree on, but right now, that park is mid. The park is very mid right now. Again, they just had a facelift and they're getting another facelift. Like, we have to deal with construction all over again? No, thank you. Also, I don't love that you can't see the Fantasmic Water during the day. Also, I don't like that the park icon is like a wall separating you from the rest of the park. Yeah, I still don't like it. I still don't like it. And I'll tell you what, the closer we get to the holiday season, which starts like truly 2 seconds after this episode drops, because right after Halloween, boom, it's holiday. I'm really missing Osborne Family Lights this year. Like, I was driving my car today and was just like, wow, what I would give to see that this year. It's a bummer. bring back Osborne Family Lights. Do it anywhere. Like, just shove it in. Make some backstory. It's fine. Imagineers can really work out the kinks of a story if they want to. Like, just make it happen. Miss Osborne Family Lights. Anyway, if you missed that, or if you don't miss that, I don't know how you couldn't, give us a call, 747-CHURROS. We are always here to answer your calls. If you're planning a trip to anywhere we discuss, honestly, a cruise with Disney Cruise Line or Royal Caribbean, a theme park trip to Orlando at Universal or Disney, a Disneyland trip, an Adventures by Disney trip, any of it, please reach out to MEI Mouse Fan Travel. They will hook you up. They will try to save you money wherever there's money to be saved. And they're, as you know from this podcast, there's all these deals that they keep announcing, and they're quiet. Not everyone knows about them. They're not easy to find. But travel agents rock, and they will always hook you up. They're completely free to use. MEI Mouse Fan Travel, completely free to use. And they're wonderful. Head to mousefantravel.com/amusing to kick off your future trip planning. And you can even be like, I'm dancing around the idea of maybe doing a spring break trip. What would the pricing be for this? They can do that too for free. No problem. They'll just like send you some info. I've done that before with my agent. I've been like, how much would it be to maybe spend a weekend at Disneyland? And it didn't work out because the room I wanted was not available. And it was... At the time, the prices were higher than they were supposed to be. It was just like a random weekend. And I was like, oh, I can't do vacation for this. Anyway, I digress. That's why reaching out to them, sometimes you never know. Sometimes you reach out and it is way less than you think it's going to be. That has happened to me at Disney World. And I was handsomely rewarded for it. So reach out to MEI Mouse Fan Travel for all of your trip planning. We love them. They support the podcast. They support me. They're making Amusapalooza possible in so many ways. And I can't wait. It's like right around the corner. It's very soon. And I'm so excited. If you want more of this, I mean, you just got like an hour of it. But anyway, I'd love to have you on the internet, this is my friend. You can follow me at Carly Mizell across the internet. You can join the Fomaly and hang out with other cool people at not me included, like the members are cool. I'm not calling myself cool. The Fomaly is where the real joy is. That's at facebook.com/group/CarlyWizell. And subscribe to my Instagram, 99 cents a month. Inflation has not hit us. No, no, no. And you will just get a lot of nonsense every month. That's what I can promise you. Some Q&As. There is a trip coming up. Wink, wink, that I will be doing a Q&A after for, which is always, I get so many questions about, okay, it's a cruise. That's a cruise. I get so many questions about cruises, and we do a private Q&A on subscribers. I post more insights into my life. So if you want more stories, again, 99 cents a month. If I was good at math, I would say it's probably 33 cents a day. No, that's wrong. I'm bad at math. Oh my God. Do you see why I majored in words? I had to take an econ class to get through college and I almost didn't make it. Wait. Oh no. Okay. Wait. Is it like 3 cents a day? This is really embarrassing. Oh no. Kids, stay in school. Stay in school. Don't have big podcast dreams. This is just for people like me who really struggled. My mom had to drop me off at school every morning for math tutoring, and clearly it didn't take. Okay, I got there. 3.3 cents a day. 3 cents a day! Oh my gosh, that is cheap. Okay, that's not bad. 3 cents a day for a woman yelling into her phone? Worth it. Oh my God, I'm leaving this on mic to keep me real, but like, wow. Stay in school, study math, and hope your brain remembers it, because mine surely didn't. Thanks so much for listening, and real sorry about that sour message. See y'all real soon. I'm so embarrassed. I'm that bad at math. Oh no.
Hi, honey. It's Mom. I am so sorry about the Dollywood. I know you waited 10 hours at the airport and then they canceled. That was so frustrating, but I'm glad that you went to Disney World Orlando with friends. And the only thing is, I know you had so much fun, but I feel so bad for AJ. But she's a trooper. She was definitely online showing where she was going and what rides. She's adorable, and I hope next year you all get to go again. So when you saw Chip and Dale in the park and you got hugged, all I could think of is, this is what I've been hearing lately, is that the characters with the kids, they hug them and they don't stop hugging them until the kid releases. So I'm wondering now if that's the same with adults. So I definitely need to test that out because I'm such a hugger. But for you being a Disney writer and having a podcast was the best decision for you. And I love what you do so, so much. I'm definitely enjoying the ride. Thank you for everything. It's wonderful. I'm glad you had 10 minutes to yourself on the hub eating my favorite popcorn, our favorite popcorn. And it's just wonderful to do what you love and love what you do. I love you so much. Great episode. I love you, Carly. I'll see you real soon for sure. And I love you, Prairie. Bye-bye.